There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 575. Well, Walking Dead is almost upon us again. You know, the show ends in the spring, and then it's like, ah, shit, I gotta sit around for like 6 months. Well, actually, I don't sit around. I've been pretty busy. But it's still 6 months to wait. They're trapped in the train car. Now what? I need to know. October 12th, Walking Dead comes back, followed by Talking Dead, which I'm hosting. So maybe give that a watch. You probably wouldn't watch it if you didn't watch Walking Dead, because that'd be weird, unless you just wanted to kind of an emotional breakdown of a show that you weren't that familiar with. I don't know you personally. Maybe you are into that sort of thing. If that's the case, fine. Watch it. I'm not going to stop you. It'd be weird if I did. This episode is Nick Frost, who, it turns out, is a pretty good bowler, if you saw him on All-Star Celebrity Bowling on our YouTube channel. And Nick is promoting The Box Trolls right now, which is in theater September 26th. And Nick is a guy that I just wish would just come hang out on the podcast all the time. I would just bring Nick in for Hostfuls if he were available, but he doesn't live here, so we can't have him all the time. But Nick, if you want to do that, I accept. Please, come by anytime you want. A surprise Nick Frost anytime is going to make your day infinitely better. So here's Nerdist Podcast number 575 with Nick Frost.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Weirdly smaller though.
Yeah, because you have the contacts on the side now, and then it won't go out of that. I think you should just get the big one. Get the big one.
Someone actually was that kind of person.
I don't know what happened. It must have just been defective because the phone just snapped itself in half. Matt, what was the worst excuse you ever heard? Matt used to work at the Genius Bar.
I did. You know, it's a lot of people that just would claim that they just dropped it on the carpet and it looked like it had been dropped from an airplane into the Grand Canyon. Like, right. It would just be chunks of glass missing.
Yeah.
I saw someone who had dropped it from the 6th floor of the parking garage at the Grove, and it had sort of, like, just bent itself in half. That was the iPhone 1.
Like an actual suicide victim.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot over at the Grove.
What, people?
Suicides, yeah. People jumping off the top of the parking garage.
Oh, it's no,
the
8th
floor. Yeah, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, how come this doesn't make the news?
The Carusos are, let's say, Italian.
Oh, people that own the, va bene.
Gets cleaned up real quick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
That happens a lot, you know, because it's a great view of L.A., and if you've had some problems here, it's the best way to kill yourself.
Floor.
It was the 8th. It's the 8th floor they jump off.
What's that, 18, 90 feet, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's enough.
It's about 10 foot of floor.
If you go head first, you're definitely...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, sure. I think anything over 30 feet is probably
fatal.
Potentially
probably
fatal.
Not gonna.
But I mean, if you want to put a full stop under a human life, you go off.
Yeah.
Find a big one. Nakatomi Plaza.
That's not a real place. And they also blew the top of it off.
Yeah.
They also blew the top of Nakatomi Plaza.
The Fox Building. But yeah, no, I mean, if you're gonna kill yourself, I suppose it's a good place to do it.
Yeah. You can have a little read on the way down.
Right.
You can finish that last chapter.
Oh, wait. This made me change my mind. Oh.
No.
Rethink everything.
Right as the... Well, I guess it would be ironic, like, right as the fountains are playing What are they playing these
days?
They
play a lot of Lionel Richie All Night Long. Mm-hmm. That plays a lot there. Have you been to the Grove?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a keen fan of the farmer's market.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll often, if I've got like a Sunday off, I'll go and post up and hit some Stella's and then have a falafel.
Oh, that's good.
And just look at the meat.
Yep. The back bar is great for that. That's the import bar. And then the middle bar is the domestics.
I just prefer to sit around there and then I'll maybe drunkenly go and buy some trainers.
It's a lot of expats.
And some hot sauce.
I'll buy some trainers and Cholulu.
The weird hot sauce store
and the sticker store. Those are the two weird stores that
I've
are in there.
Bought things from both of those places.
Have you really?
Of course.
Wow.
I think they have a thing as well, which there's like a giant machine that you can watch peanut butter being made.
Yes, absolutely.
It's mesmerizing.
Yeah. I was thinking
what gets me every time is the picture of Eisenhower with the peanut butter, looking at the peanut butter thing like, oh, that's interesting.
This peanut butter is good for America.
Isn't that machine been photographed with every president since the Eisenhower administration?
I feel like it has. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. Everyone, if you're in L.A., look at the peanut butter machine at the farmer's market.
Well, in Washington...
This is down on 15th and peanut butter.
the peanut butter dish?
Peanut and butter.
I think it is the national butter, isn't it? Peanut butter?
Yeah. All nut butters.
Yeah.
Washington Carver.
Let me just say, if you say the phrase nut butter at home, someone's going to laugh at you. Because nut butter means sperm.
No, yes. Yeah, so you're supposed to say it right as you're ejaculating.
Nut butter!
It's right. I feel like the opposite is probably not as flattering. I don't think pussy butter is as...
you don't want to run into that, no.
It's a nice term.
Why isn't there...
It's lady schmegma.
Me and Edgar used to have a weird fascination with the phrase butter dogs.
What are butter dogs?
Well, Google it, but essentially it's like a giant... Are we recording? It's essentially a giant Japanese fighting dog bred specifically to pleasure wives.
What?
So you kind of just smear Japanese butter on your maid's closet, and then
your maid's closet,
and then the dogs come and just lap it away, just lap it clean. But Google butter dogs, Japanese.
The maid's closet.
Yeah, or the tuppence, or the nonny, whatever you want to call it.
Is the butthole called the butler's entrance?
Yeah, the tradesman's. Or Isla Nublar, site B. That's what we call it.
Da, 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 da.
You have butter dogs?
We do.
Cheetah speed.
I'm looking it up.
What are you looking at? Looking
Japanese butter dogs.
Yeah. Oh, I have to type in Japanese.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of can I give my dog butter?
Why?
But it's also that thing that, given a chance, a dog would eat anything.
Yeah.
So I hear a lot of people saying you can't give dogs chocolate. You cannot give a dog chocolate; it'll kill it. It's like, well, will it?
I think it will. I think chocolate's very bad for a dog. Actually,
why?
I don't know. It's something.
Sure, I thought that would be like its natural, the thing it eats naturally out in the wild. You know?
No. They're swapping.
So to me.
They're swapping a lot of Japanese vaginas out for chocolate now in dog diets.
I think they have those Swiss Nutella hounds, and that's all they eat.
I love this. I love this number two in the Urban Dictionary: butter dog, a mainly Japanese pursuit in which liberal amounts of butter, slightly warm, are smeared on a bird's mange, and a dog, normally a golden retriever, is then brought to lick it off. That's and then it, for use in a sentence. Miss Yang took great pleasure in butter dog in introducing Tupperware party to butter dog.
Well, Miss Yang is Chinese,
that's
automatically racist in the Urban Dictionary.
A dog trying to lick a woman's pussy. The woman's pussy is smeared with butter, and the dog licks it. Hence the name. That's number one. Number
two. It's just laid out very clinically there.
Urban Dictionary really backs it up.
I'd never heard of butter dogs before, but I'm glad this is a thing.
Let's have a look at a clip.
I don't have clips, guys. I'm looking for clips.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. There it is.
That was actually the woman.
All the butter's gone. That noise indicates all the butter has now gone.
What a great opportunity for a margarine commercial.
Yeah. I think they probably have one in Tokyo like that, don't they?
I can't believe it's not butter.
Dogs.
Dogs.
I can't believe they're not butter dogs.
What are you uniquely... Like, why? I can't believe we've never heard of that.
Well, there's also someone showed me these machines in Korea.
Uh-huh.
I'm fairly certain.
South?
I'm fairly certain. Yes. Well, yes. When I tell you what the machine
when it's,
is.
When it's a machine, it's in South Korea.
It's basically a sperm extraction machine.
Uh-huh.
And so it looks
like an exercise machine, but it has this tube that comes out in
it's an esophagus,
like
Chris.
A suction,
like a suction. It comes out and pulsates, and then it extracts sperm. And you just basically stand at the machine in a very unsexy way.
But if that was next to a urinal, wouldn't you give it a go? Like, you have there or there.
Well, you'd probably want to hit the machine first and then the urinal.
Well, either way.
It'd be hard to do it in the reverse order. So I feel like Korea will develop that, and then Japan will put a robot's face next to it that you can just come on.
A robot dog's face.
A robot dog's face. A robot butter dog.
What will they think of next?
I might go.
No,
I'll see you later.
Let's all go together. What are you doing in town? Do you live here now or no?
No, I still live in London, but I'm here for doing Box Trolls press.
Nice.
It is nice. I'm in the film for like 6 minutes and they said, yeah, we'll put you in the show for a week and we'll fly you. And I'm like, yeah, you will. It was great. And then I saw the film. What day is it? Monday. I saw the film on like Friday and I saw how how little I was in it. And I felt really bad.
But it took them so much time to pose your figure that many times. So
I think my figure had the most plastic in it.
Yeah. On a surface area.
Yeah.
You're in
an analysis. Yeah.
The Leica, the company Leica, they fucking do amazing stuff. They did Coraline too.
The amount of work though that goes into it for stop motion.
It's insane.
It is insane. I mean, it looks amazing, but. I think they're saying to me they have like a warehouse with 1.3 million features in it, like million mouths.
Jesus.
So they can just pop them out.
Send them to Korea.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to outsource that.
Why?
Because people are working. It's a craft. Okay. Let's have them do it.
Well, the 3D printers are working.
No, yeah, I'm saying
3D printers are working overtime.
I'm saying send all the mouths to Korea for the machines. That was a callback to a second ago, but you thought
really?
I was saying outsource them to Korea. Korea should outsource American.
Back that up.
They could melt them all down and build one giant smile and then put it on the border as if to say, come on, let's make it.
Guys, come on.
Come on, Pyongyang.
This is fun. Maybe they should send some of those machines up to North Korea.
And, you know,
loosen them up a little bit.
Charismatic leader.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like him.
I mean, seriously.
No one's ever said that before. You know, I like him.
And then, you know, give him a chance.
I have a thing I keep sending Simon. Like, I keep Googling, like, despotic leaders smiling, or, like, Hitler smiling, or I've got pictures of Osama smiling. And then I send them to Simon, and then underneath I write, oh, he seems all right. It's so weird when you see, like, Hitler laughing. You think, what? Now I'm confused.
I don't know. He's not supposed to do that.
But then if you were to turn that picture around, you see he was laughing at a woman who'd fallen into a shredder.
Yeah, then you know, it's like
you never see that half of the picture.
No, that's which is probably what it is.
Yeah. But like Charles Manson smiling, you think, oh, he's having a whale of a time.
That one, yeah, the Manson smile never just looks like it never looks frivolous.
Now a euphemism for a stab wound, isn't it? The Manson smile.
Yes.
It also sounds like a fleshlight lid that you could buy.
Do you go anus or vagina on the fleshlight?
Does it matter?
I go there's two. You Manson can get smile.
Yeah, I think I go the Manson smile too.
You can get the. I wonder what the market is that they like later in their run had to go. Okay, guys, here's the asshole.
I think when it comes to the fleshlight, I'm on a 5-2 diet, so I go 5 pussy, 2
five,
anus.
5-2 anus, yeah. Now, is it pussy, anus, or do you drop it in between?
Pussy, anus.
Now,
pussy, anus. That's like our Masonic Lodge chant.
To me it sounds
and then
like
we drink.
To me it sounds like X-rated Morse code where it's long, long, short, long, long, short. Pussy, anus.
How that would look too, it is a one and a zero. So it's binary. Like a binary. like a binary fleshlight.
Guys,
guy.
We might have just figured out the universal. We've been sending math equations into
that's
space.
That's how we beat the Nazis. We should have.
That's
code
Benedict
machines.
Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Cut to Cumberbatch in the movie just going like, pussy, pussy, anus, pussy, pussy, pussy,
yes,
anus.
Hitler was a virgin. He didn't recognize the pussy codes.
And all the Cherokee wind talkers said, pussy, anus, anus, pussy, pussy, anus, anus.
Someone is this is I will definitely email it to you when someone actually creates the Morse code chart with pussy anus, pussy anus, pussy anus.
I also want to see like
pussy pussy pussy.
Whatever our headgear is for this lodge, it should have just fleshlights all over it.
SOS becomes PAP, basically.
I didn't like mine.
Why?
It got gonorrhea. I had to send it back. This one's syphilitic.
These are really realistic.
Mine killed itself.
Oh, no.
No, I just didn't like it. It smelled weird.
Yeah, I've never used one. I would be glad to try one if anyone wants to send one that isn't used.
But isn't it weird that you would ask for it and then someone would send it to you knowing that you were going to have sex with it? I have not.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, I feel like other podcasts have gotten free ones because they sponsored. If we just said no to them, have they tried to sponsor
us? Did we just blanket no fleshlight?
I don't. Well, I you know, I don't know, Matt. I've never.
I'm curious. I don't know.
If you take the actual internal organ out of it,
yeah,
it makes a lovely cup for frozen margaritas. You can fit a lot in there. It's like a liter and a half.
I was watching, I forget what we were looking at for the show. It might have been for At Midnight, but we were watching this video of these fake asses that you can now buy.
Yep.
It was this guy clinically explaining the cleaning and how the asshole and the vaginal cavity is connected. So he's like
in real women.
Yeah. Exactly. So you just pour. He's like, you pour water in and it'll come out the anus and vice versa.
Like a neti pot.
Yeah, exactly like a neti pot. Just clear that sinus right out. Well, it was very interesting because there was like it now had come in black. You could have a black ass or a white ass.
It's funny that only now it comes in black.
Right? Yeah, it was a new innovation.
Do you like to come
them.
In black, Matt?
Whatever.
I don't envision
a memoir. Do you know on the set of Paul we had those things? Someone bought this thing, right? It was like a mask, like a plastic mask, kind of creepy looking with eye rectangles, and a rectangle for the mouth. And it had like an electric thing attached to a battery. And when you turned it up, inside this mask, it had lots of kind of electrodes. And if you turned it up, it kind of, you know, it exercised your face.
Oh, that's weird.
And so we had them on set.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're really weird. And you can turn it up and it kind of goes like the abscessizer, but for your face.
Right.
And the only colors they came in were white or blue. They just immediately release a black version. Well, you know, who's blue? Who thought, yeah, let's not do the colors of human beings. Let's just do a white one and a blue one.
Blue face isn't racist yet.
No, unless you're a Smurf or
the Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group.
Just so you guys get an idea of what the video I was watching.
Oh, God, look. That's a really nice ass.
That is weird.
I hate the fact it's called Pipe Dream as well.
Two of our Fuck Me Silly Mega Masturbators. Here we have
the Fuck Me Silly Mega Masturbator.
His voice does not denote silliness.
The new black version.
Please don't slap it. Like,
oh, it's jiggly.
It's really jiggly.
If these are the same mold or if there's any differences.
Pussy, 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 pussy.
The only difference in these is the color of the Fantaflesh, which mimics real skin.
That's the only difference. It's just like humans, people. We're all the same on the inside.
What if you got your ass blown off by IED? And they're like, that was the nearest thing they had to that.
The nearest. Wait, I've got one of these in my car.
Put it on. Sew this on, will you?
Sure. I just want to see the sketch where it's basically like all of your household appliances become like fuckable in some way, like flesh stoves and fuck fridge.
We'll get there.
You think so?
Yeah.
God willing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like it's not going to be everybody has this. It's just it'll be an option.
Yeah,
with your Viking
it might be
grill.
Just a bit under the Nutribullet where you can just finger it.
Yeah,
while you're putting in wheatgrass, you can just have a finger bang.
It's just a whole line of toys that are just like third base, like this, like that's as far as you can go with them.
So, would you say Box Trolls is good for kids?
Yeah, Rated R.
I mean, not to, you know, I know you're in the movie and I'm excited to see it, but Box Troll does sound like a sex toy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, I could say things now about it, the phrase Box Troll, but I'm not going
to. It must be killing you to not be able to say the things that you really want to say.
Yeah, it really is.
He's sweating about it.
I like the film. I'm a big fan. And,
how many mouths do they make?
They're almost 1.3 million.
That's a lot of
hungry, sucking mouths.
Nah, damn it.
Nick, no.
God damn it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You guys were amazing bowlers, by the way. You did very well bowling in our all-star bowling tournament.
Too well.
Yeah. I thought that was the most hungover I've ever been.
I remember when you guys showed up, and I think Edgar was like, we were out until very late last night. Nick's not doing so well.
And I got carried off. I was DJing at the Roosevelt, and they carried that. I fell over, and that had to carry me out.
And that was it.
Oh, yeah, my God.
I got back about up past five.
Oh, God. And then you showed up at our place at like 10.
10 o'clock, yeah.
Wow. Oh,
I'm
with
so
the fearsome, unrelenting heat of the valley.
Oh, that's awful. Well, you didn't seem hungover, and you guys did great.
Yeah. It's probably my greatest ever sporting victory.
Well, you know, it wasn't. Yeah. Real underdogs coming in. We thought you guys weren't going to bowl well. And then they destroyed us.
They did.
They literally.
Gentleman Edgar Wright and his weird stance.
Yes, it was one hand in the pocket, and then he would throw with his wrist facing the wrong way,
as if to shoo away a poor person.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes, not today.
Yeah,
get a job.
Smell this guff. It's like the way Wes Anderson would bowl.
That's exactly the way. I'm sorry. Do these bowling shoes come in spats? Absolutely. But you, it seemed like you started to come to life after a couple of frames.
Yeah, that's when I do a lot of my best work. I need a couple of frames to get me going. I think my problem with bowling is I think I have a lot of tremendous power and just can't harness it and get really angry.
Right, like Wolverine.
I try too hard.
Yeah,
harness it.
And also, I think I never find the right finger depth for the size of ball I need.
Sure.
Because I think I don't want a really heavy ball.
Right.
But then if you get a heavy ball, the holes are really big.
Yeah, yes. You need to get your own ball.
I need like a 12 with fat holes.
That's my dream, to get my own ball made. I like how this.
Can I just say, I hate the phrase a 12 with fat holes. There's a lot in the press about.
There's nothing could. That could mean a lot of things, though. It doesn't necessarily.
A 12 with fat holes.
Guys,
now see, I like a heavy one with small holes. I don't know.
Impossible. Good luck with that.
I know, I'm so lonely. I mean, I was talking about bowling. How long do you get to?
Hey, let's. So Box Trolls is out on Friday.
Is it Friday?
Yeah.
So it's for all the kids, all the
kids,
families.
Mum and dad can go.
Yep. Just bring your 12ers with fat holes.
Bring them all.
They're never gonna. Leica sends me all these really great, like figurines from their movies.
And yeah.
And I'm never gonna get another one.
They're nice.
They're so nice.
Send me
they're
a bunch
based
too.
In Portland, I think.
Yeah.
Good group.
Do you get to keep? Did you ask them for anything like for your actual figure? Like get one of those or?
No, I kind of wanted. There's a lot of cheese in the film.
Yeah.
All the cheese looks amazing. I thought I'd like some
did
cheese.
Did you ask them for one?
Well, I did, but I didn't. I haven't got any yet.
Oh well, they should really.
I did like a Q&A on Friday with Ben Kingsley and the directors and like the head of CEO of Leica, and that same question was asked.
Yeah.
And I said, I really like the cheese, you know. And then, like, the CEO piped up and said, it's not edible, Nick. Just to say, oh, you fat shit. You can't eat these props.
That's when you just get up and walk away.
I gave him a look. Then I gave him a publicist look, and I had that weird heat. That weird heat rush come over me, and I thought, just sit down. Just say anything.
Don't say it.
Just sit yourself down.
How's Ben Kingsley? Do you you're like, do Gandhi? Does he still like that? Is he cool with it?
He's still, wait,
how would Gandhi sound like if he was Don Logan from Sexy Beast? But it was that was the first time I'd ever met him, and the only thing I could, because I watched Gandhi recently, just apropos, you know, just thought here it is, I'll watch it. And when he was in front of me, the only thing that was going on in my mind, and I was repeating it like a mantra: "Don't call him Gandhi. Don't call him Gandhi." It's so difficult.
Because he's so good in Iron Man 3. I really loved him in that. He was so good as the Mandarin.
Great. He's great. He's great in... And it's weird because he'll pop up in really amazing movies and movies where you're like, why did they get Ben Kingsley for that?
I went to eat at Comic-Con and there was a large table, like a full 12 people waiting for someone. And I'm like, who the fuck are they waiting for? And then Ben Kingsley shows up. And then goes around the table greeting everybody individually. And I was like, this guy knows how to be a knight.
Yeah.
He is a sir. Do you want to be knighted?
What table? What was it? It was a rectangular table.
Not a round one?
It was rectangular.
His first error.
Yeah, it was rectangular.
He's not a good knight at all.
He was really nice to me. You know, we shook hands and he gave me a little cuddle. And we just had a chat and just thought, yeah, nice. Nice one. Good egg.
What the fuck is going on out there? I feel like whatever was buried in the walls in this really old studio is now trying to claw its way out.
Could be a 16 large escaping.
So Pox Trolls. would you ever want to be knighted? What does it do for you? Is it just it's an honorary title,
you
obviously.
You just have it on your passport, it says sir, and everyone has to call you sir, I suppose.
And that's it?
Yeah. I don't know what. I mean, I'm sure there are. If you get knighted, you or your family can get married in St. Paul's Cathedral.
Oh,
I know that's one of the perks, but I'm wondering what. I'm sure there are perks that no one knows about. You know, I do a lot of I do a lot of great charity work, and they've never even offered me an OBE.
Not one time.
Not once. I work with a lot of veterans. I thought that would at least secure me a CBE.
I think you get to just.
I think you just Beatles get to start with the CBE, right? They got the CBE first.
I think you start with an O, then a C, then a K.
I think you just get to finger the Queen whenever you want, right? As a knight, you're just like, you're going, are you okay?
It's hot in here. Isn't it? <You're
all right>. You just went a little pale.
I might put my trousers back on.
No. Stay comfortable.
I met Prince Harry like 2 months ago.
You did?
How was that? Audi lent me a car for 6 months, and they said, "Look, you can have it, but the only thing you have to do is come to an event."
Okay.
And so after having the car for 6 months, I then got like a letter saying, "Here's your event." It's like, oh, I now have to do it. It's like,
oh yeah,
the Godfather thing. It's like, I don't know when, but one time I will ask for you. You know. So it was an Audi polo event in Cowdery Park in Windsor. It's like a really posh place, and I had to go and watch a polo match. And William and Harry played on different teams, and it was a kind of good crack. It was fun, and you know, then it's like going to a wedding but without a cake. So, but where two cars get married.
So William was a bludger, and Harry was
a seeker.
Was a seeker. Okay, good.
And then Harry was there afterwards. There was a big party, and everyone danced, and I went to the toilet, and as I walked past like a table, there was a kind of ginger man sitting there, and I looked, and it was Prince Harry just on his own at a table. Having a drink, and I was kind of plastered. And as I walked past him, he went, "Oi, geezer!" I was amazed. I didn't know what to say. I didn't stop. I just went, "Oh, all right," and then like bumbled on and just went to do a wee.
And you didn't? You didn't stop to talk to him?
No,
what
I didn't.
Did you say to him though? You know?
Hello. Hello, you. You've grown up to be a nice young man.
Yeah. So, I understand if someone's a knight, they can finger your grandmother.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, these summer polo matches I better be are going. So hot.
I think I've lost a contact lens.
Every time I'm walking at night and I do catch a bit of like spider web, I think of you.
Oh, the spider web gag! So great.
It's spider web season video. At home, too.
It's very, yeah.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate walking the dog, and you have to walk.
Yeah, it's just like.
Imagine Alfred Molina to come out behind and take my idol.
Throw him the whip.
Yeah.
I just watched Last Crusade last night. While I was unpacking,
we named the dog Indiana.
But that, like, the Hitler scene in that, it's always weird seeing a Hitler in color.
Yeah.
Like, it's always just, it just seems off-putting. Like, I always imagine if I were to go back in time, everything would be black.
I used to think that, too. You know, I used to think that, yeah.
What is, like, I just don't...
At what point did humanity colorize itself?
Yeah. And it's always weird, like, too, like, when you see, like, even when you see color, like, picture the Beatles with their suits in color, you can't.
No,
because everything's black and white.
I have a problem, like, when you see on the Discovery Channel, when they do, like, World War II in color, then it's just now in HD, you think... Well, it was kind of horrific in black and white, so yeah. I don't need to see...
to see every detail.
Bayonetting in full HD.
Wow, you can really see the death.
Yeah, yeah.
In high resolution. Yeah.
But,
in full 1080.
I want to go...
the grief in this man's eyes.
Look at the fork.
As his best friend is blown to pieces.
Oh, wow, you can really make out the face losing its color. Wow.
You can really make out the face losing its body. Look at these insane GIs shooting a cheese.
That's not edible cheese, Nick. Nah.
But I want to go on record and say I think Last Crusade is my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Better than Raiders?
I think it's my
How is that possible?
I don't know. It's just something about
because River
Sean
Phoenix
Connery
was in it?
And Harrison Ford together, tied up to a chair together. Like the whole... All of that works.
They both
so
fuck
well.
The same woman.
I was the next
woman.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
I am the last dragon.
He punches that guy in the face, throws him out of the Zeppelin, and he goes, no ticket.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. Nothing to me compares with Raiders. Nothing
really?
To me. Like the experience, that, you know, that was one of those. I saw Raiders in the theater, and it was just completely unlike anything I'd ever seen as a kid.
Yeah.
And it, you know, so there was no... So yeah. By the time Last Crusade, it was like, oh, this is cute. I like it. But, you know, but Raiders to me was very, very...
Junior.
Very...
Junior.
Junior.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Let it go.
That was nice. Yeah. That's a nice
right?
bit.
Just like,
I don't mind the bit at the end with the Knights Templar. He's all right.
I love that guy. That's amazing.
Just,
like,
well, I'm just going to choose a wooden cup.
Yeah.
The cup of a carpenter.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me choose.
I don't know if he would have made cups, though.
No.
That's a doors, an excellent point.
Doors and window.
What do you do if you're that...
window frames.
What do you do if you're that Templar Knight in there for a thousand years?
He was in there
you have
for
to have a fleshlight, for sure.
Years.
maybe
sure,
he had like
I'm
a...
Sure
pussy, anus,
maybe
anus.
Had like a wound of Christ.
Pussy.
You could slide into the chalice.
That's the cutout.
Pussy, anus, stigmata. Pussy,
yeah, no,
pussy.
And now new stigmata.
After you spell Jehovah on the floor, you have to spell pussy, pussy, pussy anus, pussy, 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 anus.
They cut that part out.
For time.
Yeah,
just
for
time.
Just for time. I think it's in the extended cut, though. I think it's in the extended cunt of the movie. Thank you, Katie.
That's the only thing Katie's laughed at.
Katie's. She's not even paying attention to us half the time. I don't know what she's looking up on the internet.
She's still looking up butter dogs.
No, Katie's looking up.
How to train your butter dog.
Just trying to get Scout.
No! No!
What?
No! Too real!
Oh. Poor Scout's over there just in a heap.
She looks knackered.
What?
Oh. That is uncouth.
What did I say?
Don't care for it.
That crossed the line?
Yep.
That point?
Yeah, because they're both here.
We just talked about fucking stigmata.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
with that. Are you kidding me?
We haven't.
That might have been a better film.
If thought of it once or twice.
If Gabriel Byrne at one point put his knob in the side of... Rosanna Arquette.
like in Crash. Yes, the movie
like
Crash.
Like in Crash, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she's in Stigmata.
That was so... That was such a
that's
weird...
The Blu-ray.
That was a weird sort of like hot streak for Gabriel Byrne. Like that late 90s Gabriel Byrne is a good Gabriel Byrne.
Any day you get to put your knob in one of Rosanna Arquette's wounds is a...
Oh, you
is
know
a
what
good
I
day
wanted
for
to
me.
Ask you? What... In give me a rundown of what Pierce Brosnan is like in person.
Oh, he's amazing.
Is he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's lovely. And do you know when someone smells really rich?
Yes.
I don't know if he is
weirdly,
really rich.
Yes, I do.
Sure
I mean, I'm
rich.
Sure he's doing all right, yeah. But he smells wealthy. Ben Kingsley smelled wealthy too.
Sure.
It's like a mix of a very soft Italian leather.
Right.
And some, like an unbranded aftershave that you could only buy in a tiny store somewhere.
That only like five people...
Like Omar Sharif goes there. And if Omar Sharif wins big at bridge, it's like Johnny Mathis would go there.
It's made from the musk of some extinct mammal.
Yeah. Yeah,
they just keep draining.
That they
it.
Just keep, yeah, they just
it
have
drips
this...
out of Patricia Arquette's stigmata wound, and it smells like flowers because it's meant to smell like flowers, isn't it? Stigmatas.
Yeah. Gabriel, could you please not fuck the leg wound before we get
them? You say stigmata. I say stigmata.
Stigmata.
Yeah, he smells like that, and he's fun.
Yeah,
and you know, he does all his lines off. He doesn't. He sat with a group and chatted and did a crossword. You know, he was just a normal, powerful, rich man.
I think personal life wise, I feel like he's the most entertaining James Bond to interact with in real life.
He certainly seems to be the one that had the most fun with it. I mean, Roger Moore seemed to have a lot of fun with it, but
no, George Lazenby had the most fun with it. But now he's just a belligerent Australian.
I was here
drunk
a couple of years ago, standing outside, not outside Chateau Marmont, but just up the back, you know,
there's a couple
of streets that go out the back. And he was just standing there, I think, waiting for a car. And he said at one point, just from out the blue, Timothy Dalton ran past, a dog ran past, and then Timothy Dalton ran past wearing a bathrobe saying, "Come back here!" And Simon was just stood. He went, "Tim!" And he said, "Oh, hello, Simon." And kind of looked as the dog disappeared up the canyon. Like he had beef with a dog. What is that story? How did that
James
happen?
Bond in his greatest pursuit yet.
It wasn't his dog. He had sausages in his mouth.
That's what you have to sing when Timothy Dalton runs by rope chasing a dog.
Who? Okay, so of the two, you've worked with both Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, and Daniel Craig.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was in Tintin with us.
That's true.
He looks good in a motion capture suit.
Oh,
yeah.
That guy. Yeah, he looks amazing.
I look
like somebody that's falling out the La Brea tar pit. If you were to take one of the eggs from Cocoon and plop it into the La Brea tar pit and then roll it out, that's what I look like in my motion capture suit.
Remember that Last Action Hero where they have to, like, the guy has a bomb in him, the mob guy, remember? In a casket, and he's at a funeral, and then Schwarzenegger, like, takes a crane that's on top of the SAG building and, like, drops the mobster that's going to blow up into the tar pit, and then it just makes a hilarious
all I remember
noise.
All I remember from Last Action Hero was Tywin Lannister with the weird eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah. I remember them also. My favorite thing in that movie as a kid was them in a video store and there being a Terminator 2 ad, but it was Stallone in the movie.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was fucking awesome.
Look at it, though?
Yeah, he does.
They were having fun with each other.
The kids, you know, they were loving their... Intertextuality. They were like, there's no end in sight to this Planet Hollywood money.
This train's never going to stop.
All aboard.
All we have to do is I just have to put the clothes I'm wearing in a case and people will eat near it.
Oh, my God.
This will go on forever.
Who doesn't want to eat whiskey glazed ribs?
We were in Vegas together and I just left him and went into the Planet Hollywood to go look at James Bond's tuxedo.
Yeah, he's a little obsessed with Bond. He's a little upset.
I enjoy it.
Do you have the Omega watch?
I have. He also has the... he has the newer Planet Ocean. I have the... this is the Pierce Brosnan era. Up to the first of the Daniel Craig movies.
I'm so sorry.
I think Nick's doing a little better than you are, man.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
We're interviewing him. I'm writing dick jokes in a sweaty room.
We have to keep it sweaty because that's...
that's where you do your best dick
stuff.
That's very true. No, but that's it's a great watch, right? It's a great watch.
It's a lovely one. Yeah, I love it. I tell people it's snide.
Are you? Is there anyone else? Do you still fan out on people that you meet? Do you still freak out when you meet people?
Chefs.
Yeah. Oh.
That's who I squee over. Like, I met Angela Hartnett, who was one of Gordon Ramsay's proteges, and like, she's like an amazing chef. Like, she got two Michelin stars. And because I was a cook and I'd always want to, I'm like a frustrated like chef. And so when I saw her, like, she came over to say hello, and I was like, hello. Nice to meet you. You know, but that's it, really. I've never been bothered by all that stuff, because I just think, not wanting to sound base, but they still have to go home and have a shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know. That's why I won't have a problem with being knighted. It's like, it doesn't just stop.
Matt's obsessed with Gordon Ramsay.
I love. I've been to almost all of his references. I haven't been to the Dubai one or... I've been to Claridge's. I haven't. Yeah, the Dubai one, really, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Claridge's is nice. A friend of mine was head chef there for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's such a magical thing to be able to do what they do. And, you know, I think it's right on the corner of art and science.
Art and science, yeah.
I love it.
It really is.
Like, I always talk about French onion soup. You know, you think it's onions, it's thyme, it's a bit of garlic and some red white wine. You just cook that for an hour and it's like, what? This is amazing. You know, it's that's what I love all that.
Are you going to open a restaurant at some point?
Nah, crikey. No, not really. I mean, I love cooking for people, but I think, if anything, you'll have to find one thing that you're really good at and stick to that, you know.
What is your favorite thing to cook?
Well, I like everything, really. I love cooking Sunday lunches and roasting meats and slow braising a meat. Or I cook a lot of Mexican food, because we don't get Mexican food in London, really. So I worked at a Mexican restaurant for 6 years, so I kind of took a lot of their recipes and now do them at home, and you know, you refine them and make them nice.
That's awesome.
Are you inviting us to come to your house for
come and have Mexican?
Because we'll
fly absolutely. To London to have Mexican. We'll fly to London
just to eat with you.
I think the box troll said they'd fly you over.
And what is your favorite meal you've ever had at a restaurant?
Oh, I don't know. My brain is terrible for that kind of recall. You know, I think I'm a meal by meal. I had some nice. I went to the Box Trolls premiere last night, and beforehand there was like a little charity event, and they served like these amazing little sliders, and that's all it was, just like sliders with cheese and a gherkin, and it was amazing.
They're big just on little sliders things like here. That. They're big on like party sliders.
Big
like,
on sliders. Yeah. We do not get sliders at home.
Yeah.
No, there's no sliders in England?
No.
We have to do something about this.
We won't do it.
Why?
It's not our way to miniaturize a hamburger.
I feel like...
It's not our way.
So it's... What we do is probably just get one big one and share it. We just cut it in half. We wouldn't then, you know, you wouldn't need a whole other
form of bread. All right, so here's my idea for a British show. It's called What's All This Then? And
first of all, how has that name already not been taken?
And we as Americans go over to England and try to introduce things like tiny hamburgers.
What's all this then?
Yeah, exactly. The top of every segment starts is us just taking like, these are tiny miniaturized hamburgers.
Oi, oi. What's all this then?
Yeah, it's a tiny miniaturized, it's a miniaturized hamburger.
You'd last 5 minutes. Or like wings or ribs or something, or tacos.
Oi, tacos. Oi.
What's all this then? He whispered it to himself.
I think it's a winner. I think it's a winner.
I love it.
And it would allow it. And then you could be on the show and you could make some of the food. I mean, this is I mean, I know you're already doing. Are you still shooting your show now in England?
Doctor Who?
No, I know you did Doctor Who, but weren't you doing a show called Mr. Sloan?
Oh, no, I finished. I think it's going to get a second season. And I think we'll know later on. Like, I think next week or something like that, but it just won some kind of big drama
once they
prize.
Hear this podcast.
Oh, listen,
put them over the top.
I could name my prize.
Does that take away some of the leverage that performers have in England, knowing that...
Doing this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done a podcast, no. No, just the idea that that they're not... I mean, because in America, the second networks feel like a show is working,
right,
then you're locked in. But in England, it's like, oh, they could do a couple seasons. I mean, with the exception of Doctor Who, you could do one or two seasons and be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it's successful, then... But then it went out on Sky Atlantic, which is kind of a niche channel, you know. I think that's the channel Game of Thrones goes out on the UK.
Oh, okay.
And I think they get, like... I think Game of Thrones gets, like, 1.5 million viewers, which is kind of tiny compared to America, but for Sky Atlantic, it's kind of big.
Yeah, think about the population of the UK.
That's... Yeah, I think Mr. Sloan got, like... Because also it goes out on the web... On the website too, so it was getting like almost 300,000, and that was double what that slot usually got. So
that's great.
It was kind of good, you know. But then you do something, you think, oh, it's not bringing any people. You know, that's my first instinct. It's not really many people, so it's probably a failure. But people seem to really like it, and I love doing it, and I love working with Bob Whitey, and he's fun. We both have a kind of darkness, which I really like in him. It's nice seeing an old man dark. He's not old, he's like 40, but... you know, I like the fact too he has a little snooze sometimes before setups. Oh. In between setups, you see him just resting his eyes, and then I'll go to the DOP. I say, "Don't do any of what Bob said. Let's set up to shoot.
Just shoot around."
Yeah.
And you're doing the Doctor Who Christmas special? Did you shoot it already?
I go back tonight, and then I start shooting again on Thursday.
Oh,
so I've got like another week on it. And we're
oh, that's exciting!
Amazing. Just such a nice crew in that, and Peter Capaldi's amazing, and Jenna's darn, adorable. Gosh darn pretty.
She's great.
It's so crazy when you see her in person, and it's like, oh yeah, you're a real tiny,
hello,
adorable person.
Oh, nice too.
Yeah, she makes my eye go a bit lazy. Hello. Someone you might meet in an airport bar.
Yeah, right.
Hello. You off to Tucson? Me too.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
How'd you get a flight to Tucson?
Hey. I mean, where are we going? Mm-hmm. No.
You're watching The Great British Bake Off? You watching that?
I've been here.
Oh, so my God. Well, I've been watching it. Yeah, okay. It's great. This season's
I've missed a lot of
particularly
it.
Great.
Yeah, I like catch up. I like BBC iPlayer. You can watch a bunch of them then, which is kind of nice. So I watch a lot of my telly now.
Do you miss doing sketch? Because I feel like... Didn't America try to do a version of Man Stroke Woman?
Did they? I have no idea.
No, they did a terrible version of Space.
I met someone the other day at a general meeting who had been one of the execs on that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was laughing at like as if to say, "Hey, do you remember when?" I was like, "No, it was rubbish. It was really bad."
Yeah, it was. It was.
What do you want to do? Like, what else do you want to do? Do you sort of take stuff on a?
I just want to be happy. Sorry.
And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're doing... I think in March we're starting on another Snow White, which will be a lot of fun. I enjoy doing the first one.
Yeah. I like the first one.
Even though they kind of lied and teased me into... and tricked me into shaving my head bald every day. I kind of said... They said, yeah, a lot of the other guys are doing it. And I kind of came in for the first day. Ta-da! Looking like an egg. they've all got hair.
None of the person.
They'd all declined in the interim.
You could just say no.
Yeah. Oh, did you? You're not having? No, they said we're going to have ball caps. And then the worst thing was that I then spent an hour. Well, I mean, it was 6 hours makeup a day, but I spent an hour with having a wig fitted, like glued to my bald head. It's like, why don't you just cut everything but what you wanted? You idiot.
This is way more time intensive.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that, and then I've been writing a lot, and I wrote a film about a wrestler, so I'm trying to do something with that at the moment.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. It's just about a really old... He's not really old. He's my age. Like a wrestler who was really big at one point, and then drugs and injury ruined him, and, you know, he's about to be part of an induction into the Hall of Fame for some really old famous wrestler, and he's just a horrible man, essentially, and... His name is Cockney Lump. That was his wrestling persona. So, yeah, I mean, I want to do all the wrestling myself. So maybe a long training period and
what are you
down
what
in
you
the powerhouse
the
in Atlanta,
a film like this.
I'm saying 80 million.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, I'd settle for
Chris. I think we can do it for 15.
For 40,000. yeah, I mean, I wrote a children's book too. I'm in the process of trying to find a really beautiful artist called Rebecca Foster, and she's going to potentially illustrate the whole thing. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. What's the book about?
It's called The Homesick Swedish Mice. It's about a group of mice that live in London, and then like the grandfather figure gets murdered by this horrible cat called Mozambique, and on his deathbed he says to his family, "Take me home." And then they have to then try and take him home. So they find a toy store which has got a beautiful, beautiful scale model of a Viking longboat in the window, and they pull a big heist and get it, and then, you know, they have to kind of go down the Thames and across the North Sea and take him back.
Why isn't this a movie already?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping if I can self-publish this as a graphic novel, then essentially you have a storyboard there for anyone who would want to
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
And you could change the mice too. So, you know.
You can make them Dutch.
They could be Dutch. They here, you know, they could be Mexican mice. They could be sweet Spanish mice.
It could be any kind of mice. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to change the shape of the helmet.
What if one of the mice is a Jewish Russian immigrant family?
I do have one. I have one in and he's eaten by a seagull.
Right away.
Yeah. That's the opening frame.
Oh,
that's guys. Really nice. What made you decide to write a children's book?
Death.
Yeah, of course.
I think I have an issue with the West being really terrible at handling death.
Yeah.
And we never talk to our kids about it. And then everyone seems really surprised when old people die. And you think, well, no, this is how it is. And I think I just wanted to try and have a book where potentially characters you kind of grow into slightly kind of die, you know.
Yeah,
I always thought that would be a fun film where you spend 30 minutes setting up a really lovely character and then he's just hit by a car and just dies and then the credits roll.
I'll tell you though, because you know that will definitely force parents to have to talk to their kids about.
Yeah,
that. For me it was Charlotte's Web when I was a kid, and that unhinged me for like 2 full days.
Yeah,
at the end of Charlotte's Web when it's like the mother dies. And then,
no spoilers!
Oh God, I'm sorry, Nick. Yeah, I thought you.
2 days for a child too. Is it like 8 years for a 50-year-old?
Yeah,
in that time slip.
2 days. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, the older you get, the harder it gets.
Kids, the quicker it gets, kids the shorter it gets.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, when you're a kid, like an hour seems
like percentage,
the world.
Isn't it? So if you're 3, then a week is a large percentage.
No, okay,
of that.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And as you get older, you perceive.
That's why summers lasted forever.
Oh, Gus, remember when summers never ended? Let's fade out. Okay, now I'm going to narrate our story.
And now, really, right. Summer's like 2.5 months, which
yeah,
seems like...
That's 8 weeks.
That's nothing. Really nothing at all. It was just Comic-Con to me, it feels like, and it's already almost October.
Yeah.
Halloween's coming around. Were you at Comic-Con this year in San Diego?
No, I didn't need to be. There was a potential for me to go for something, but then it never happened, which was... kind of nice. Last year was a bit heavy for Comic-Con. I was happy to get out of there.
Oh, it was...
I left a day early and went up to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do, yeah, when I need to escape.
Just need to get up to the rainy climates?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to fly past the volcanoes.
I was at an award, like a horror award show the other night called the Igor Awards, and I was with Robert Kirkman, and he said, Nick's a fan of Invincible.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a great comic. Yeah,
I love it. I think it's. I always wanted. I think he's a bit too old now. But who was the kid? Sorry to be an idiot. In Inception, the main man in Inception? Not Inception. In Looper.
Oh, Looper, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, I always thought he'd be a great Invincible. Oh, but I think he's getting older now. So, but I love it. Yeah, I love Atom Eve. Robert Kurtzman and Ryan Ottley, because they did. They came to do Paul. They were in Paul. They played a. When we kind of recreated Comic-Con in Albuquerque, those guys came and set up a big image stand, and they gave me like these beautiful framed pictures of Atom Eve, like looking mega sexy. So I was chuffed because I got them up in my office now. But
nice,
yeah.
I don't expect you to remember this, but I moderated the panel for Paul at San Diego Comic-Con that year, and that's when. We were about to walk out on stage, and security came back, and they're like, "Oh, go back! There was an incident.
Stabbing.
There was a stabbing.
Oh,
that was a stabbing incident. We were the very next panel, for Paul, and so we had to go up to the green room for like a half hour while they sorted it out, and everything was well as fine as it could be, and then we came back out and did the panel.
There were so many kind of shit jokes when they're flying around. Oh, he was wet. The man who did the stabbing was wearing a Slytherin shirt. Belt up.
Hang on, though. He was wearing a Harry Potter shirt.
Oh, was he?
He was wearing a Harry Potter t-shirt, and the stabbing was a mechanical pencil.
It was a mechanical pencil.
That would fucking hurt, by the way.
Yeah, right? I think, like, in the side of the head, too.
I've seen Gross Point Blank.
Yes, of course.
I saw what he did to La Poubelle.
Gross Point Blank is a great movie.
Yeah.
I love Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
That was a great stretch for Cusack.
It was a good... Yeah, because he had...
High Fidelity,
Gross Point Blank. Like, he was on a roll there.
God. You know, let's talk about great stretches.
I want to get Cusack on and try to figure out why he hated Better Off Dead so much.
He hated the movie.
Did not like the movie.
In retrospect, he hates it?
No, he didn't like it then.
Oh. Well.
He did not like it then.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're an actor and you don't like a film as you're doing it, you just...
No, Savage Steve Holland told this story that they shot Better Off Dead and it was great, and then they were shooting One Crazy Summer, which was sort of an unofficial follow-up, and he screened the movie for John, and John got up and walked out like most of the way through it and then just didn't talk to him again for the rest of the filming of One Crazy Summer.
Well, that's mature.
Apparently he had no idea what he was. He was like, I don't know what movie he thought we were making, but it was, I don't know. So I don't know. Who knows? I obviously wasn't there.
Interesting.
But I still think, but I don't think a kid today would really appreciate Better Off Dead, but 16-year-old me thought it was the absolute greatest.
Well, I mean, the plot is just like, this guy's just keeps trying to kill himself.
No, but it's not, it's not just that, but Savage Steve managed to make these movies that were kind of like these, you know, live action cartoons, and all the characters, you know, just all these ancillary characters were so fantastic, and just this kind of weird, surreal world.
You know what else is a live action cartoon? Cool World.
Oh. God damn it. They tried.
They sure did.
They really tried.
They sure did.
Brad Pitt, hot off of Thelma and Louise.
Kim Basinger. Good times.
Well, could have, should have been
weird,
good.
But I'm just looking at Matt and I'm oddly attracted to him right now.
Do you guys want to...
You're so casual. It's so powerfully erotic.
Want a minute?
You guys want a minute?
I've never seen it. I think we need more than a minute.
When I think about Cool World.
Yeah.
Just how I get. PG-13.
That even had a... There were so many elements of that movie that should have been great. Like, even Bowie did the theme song, and it still was like...
The theme song can't always save a movie.
No, but the song wasn't that great. I'm saying, like, everyone... I don't know. It was just like everyone took
everyone
a swing.
Brought their B game.
Everyone
ever seen that film Christian F?
No.
Amazing. Set in Berlin in like 1978. It's a true story about a girl called Christian F who, at the age of 12, became a heroin addict, and then like her life collapsed. And it's the bleakest film in the world. But there's a passage in the middle of it where it's David Bowie playing in concert, and they all go and see Bowie playing in concert in Berlin. There's like a 20 minutes.
Oh wow.
20 minute. You know, the gig is, you see everything, you see the beginning and backstage and them and like them outside doing smack and like fantastic, and he's amazing in it.
Oh wow. I've never seen this movie.
Yeah. It's the bleakest thing in the world, you know. It's like we were saying about things being black and white. Yeah. Even though it's a colour film, everything's brown or black and white, you know. Yeah. Sepia tone.
So you see, for me, like bleak stories, I absorb them too much. I'm much
it could be me.
Can you? Yeah. But you,
I could have been that 12-year-old girl.
What was the story that your friend was telling about the Berlin Wall, the pieces of the Berlin Wall?
Oh yeah, like
did you hear the story, man?
Yes,
someone had been out doing like drugs, doing like coke or something like that, and they'd got back and they'd kind of finished the rest of the coke, and one guy said, "All right, I'm going to go to bed now." So the other guy said, "Oh, I'm just going to hang out around here," and obviously the guy had gone to bed and. This guy started snooping around the apartment and found what he thought was a bag of coke. And so the guy came down the next day and said, "Oh, you're right." Well, he said, "Yeah, I sat up and did the rest of the coke that I found up on the..." And it turns out it wasn't like a big crystal of coke that he'd spent 30 minutes crushing into a powder. It was part of the Berlin Wall. And he'd done the old block.
You just snorted the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
What?
Imagine how melancholy it would make you feel.
It's a bad high.
Oh, it's terrible, yeah. Yeah, really bad high.
The come down is worse.
Yeah.
Than the actual Berlin Wall.
The come down takes down. 40 years.
40 years.
And can only be finished with the aid of David Hasselhoff.
We'll be right back.
Please bring down that wall.
Please bring down that wall.
Isn't that what Reagan said?
No.
It takes a second to put up your veins.
It says Gorbachev, tear
down
this wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Please bring down this wall.
Hey,
you're the guy that gets historical quotes kind of wrong. What do you say?
I like
four,
that man.
40
one,
scores?
One small step for dudes, a giant leap for people.
That was wrong, though, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay, fine.
No, he said... he was supposed to say one small step for a man.
A man.
He says that.
For a
he says that. But
he says
the,
a man.
The transmission gets fucked
I
up.
I think he says for a clam.
For a clam.
You know, he says one small step for the clan. It was weird. It was weird. They were like, uh-oh.
that be weird if for some reason the clan got so much money they started their own space program?
To the moon!
How did this happen?
Just this hooded rocket.
Clan one.
They were like, we figured out that we couldn't keep America all white, so now the moon.
That heat shield looks a lot like a hood. We found it just worked better that way.
If they want to, I'm all for it. Let them go.
And you'd have to be like, God damn it, it's the clan, but they colonized the moon. I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. I mean, they're terrible.
It's tax-free up there. But it's like living in Holland.
Did you see that? Speaking of tax-free, did you see that story the other day from Gerard Depardieu that he drinks 14 bottles of wine a day?
What?
Yes.
That's a lot.
That probably explains why he pissed on that plane.
It probably explains why he looks like he did.
Did he shit on the plane?
Yeah, I think he was a shit.
I thought it was just a piss.
No, I think it was a basic.
You know what?
Oh, right, like, that's right, because Depardieu, it made his name extra funny.
Gerard?
Yeah.
Gerard Depardieu.
Depardieu.
Gerard Depardieu looks like Stan Winston. It looks like Stan Winston Studios made a perfect suit of him, and then John Candy put it on.
I think
that's what his face looks like. It's like all stretched out.
I think Gerard Depardieu could have just played Ludo in Labyrinth.
Yeah.
He just could play this big, kind of lunky...
He looks like a normal-sized man standing behind a giant pile of dirty water.
Yes, right? That's exactly what he looks like. Because his face is like... It's a weird kind of fat face. Like, it's not like... You know, I got a fat face, but his is like... There's a face, and then there's the...
Well, yeah, because sometimes, like, if your facial features are proportionate to the rest of your head, or if your head gets bigger and they all kind of go with it.
Yeah.
But if it's almost like the continental drift of his features went center, and the rest of his
went east and west.
Yeah, just all the way
it's
around.
It's like his face is made out of French flubber. He has a tractor's run over.
No,
it.
He has Pangea face.
He does have Pangea. He does have
his face is a supercontinent.
His face is a supercontinent. The facial features are the supercontinent.
Can I just ask, are you writing down legally all the grey areas?
No.
Because you have been writing for a long time.
No.
Kyle sends the...
He has Pangea face.
Kyle sends the synopsis of the podcast to the website so they can do the write-up.
That would be an amazing book to look through.
Oh, that's
if anything, like he has Pangea faces.
And just no, and then if you lost that, they would think it was the diary of a serial killer.
Great idea. Let's get that scanned and then print it.
Funny.
And then sure, we could just start putting up Kyle's notes.
No, but I mean scan that and leather bind it.
And then
with a forward from Nick.
Yeah, I'll rather.
And we all take a piece. We sell it.
Imagine that, a 10% share of 300 books.
That's 30 cents.
It'll be amazing.
The first episode of What's All This Then?
Well, Kevin,
it could pay for my daughter's bat mitzvah.
Kevin and Mosier had transcripts of Smod printed up into books.
Really?
Yeah. People would buy it.
What is it with you and money?
Matt loves money.
I like it. I want to smell like it.
I just like it.
But money is butter coated for Matt because it just slips right through his fingers.
Where did
it
go?
You need a butter dog. To... And it's a wonderful. It's a nice back to the right circles. Back
I think, but Matt, the second Matt gets money, he'll buy an Omega watch or guitars, or he'll go to Vegas.
I have $38,000 in guitars.
So he's been.
The insurance people came back and sent me that figure, and I was like, oh.
What did you your?
I sent them the inventory of what I have, and they sent me back that number.
But then to be fair, you do have 38,000 guitars.
They're not good guitars. They're all shit guitars.
Well, it's not. Yeah, I have like it's not like I have 24. I have 24 guitars right now.
Damn!
Yeah. Wow!
Damn, son! Do you collect anything?
Money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't... I'm going to sound like a horrible twat now, but I buy a lot of art.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
As long as you don't sell it in a documentary about Metallica, no one's going to think anything less of you.
How do you know... How do you know... I mean, there must be some pieces where... Because obviously, I'm sure... There are some that you buy more for the investment, and then some that you buy because the art moves you in some way.
No, it's just what I like. That's
it.
Yeah.
And do you ever feel like...
Because then you can look at them forever, so you might as well love them.
And then do you ever worry about what they're worth?
In case you ever have to...
No, I have an insurance policy too. Yeah. But I think, you know, I don't think... I'm not going to say what I'm thinking about saying because it could bite me in the arse and I'd get back and all my art's gone. So, but, you know, I don't think people are looking for art per se. You know, they're looking for Xboxes and...
Yeah, guitars.
And, guitars. yeah. So I don't really think about it, to be honest.
I think you should just start...
I have a lot of machetes, so...
Oh, a lot...
I'm a keen machete owner, so
just all my whole house is normally where there would be siding on a house. It's just all machetes
or wallpaper.
Yep,
it's just machetes.
And then Danny Trejo.
My stairs are made of machetes. I have a machete bed, so you'd be crazy to rob me.
Bed. What woman would not want to be gingerly made love to on
come in,
bed?
Come in.
I don't think I should get on that.
It's fine.
It looks like it looks it's stabby. Fine.
I'll just get on top of you.
No, I don't.
She
but
just
the points are
through. Oh,
and there's like three other people down there.
Yeah,
I can't get out.
Three other pieces.
Like putting
of
a radish through a mandolin.
You almost fell out of your chair. Your dumb chair.
That was such a wonderfully specific image.
Yeah. That's what makes him a good writer.
Are you writing anything else right now?
He's writing a movie and a children. What else does
he write?
Well,
I tell you what,
a memoir.
Oh,
I've been
yeah?
approached to see if I wanted to write my memoir, and I didn't sign anything, so I didn't get paid, but I had like a couple of months off, so I sat and I wrote like 190 pages, and I'm like 24 in the story. So,
oh wow,
I think
oh,
potentially
shit.
There's another 200 odd pages there. But
do you write fast?
It worked out that way, you know. I think it was just a stream of conscience to get it all out and to right. see what I remembered, and then that triggered other memories. And so, I thought I'd write everything that I could remember that happened to me chronologically, and then take out everything I didn't want anyone to know,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to. Exploit to sell 300 copies of a book and
right.
then see what was left. And it not much, as it turns out. You know, it'll I think it would be like one of those little books that they sell by the counters when you go to buy a bigger book.
Right.
It was that, you know.
So Pussy Stigmata by Nick Frost.
You can buy about, pictures of a cat dreaming. It's that, those kind of books. I think it would be that.
Oh, I could get this cat dreaming. Or, oh, Nick Frost wrote a memoir.
Wow.
Oh, no, there's dogs. There's dogs dreaming.
Chicken soup for the butter dog soul.
What?
No.
Are you? So you're going back tonight?
Yeah, I am.
How often
going
do you come
back
here?
I think I spend like 3 or 4 months a year, but kind of split across the year. You know,
well,
I was here with lovely Justin Long a little while ago doing that pilot that never got picked up, which was a shame. But then, you know, I got to work with him, which was great.
Oh, Justin, yeah, he's great.
He is great.
Really funny.
I thought if this does get picked up and it's kind of popular and goes for 5 years, I couldn't wish for a nicer man to be. Stuck with.
Yeah, he really is nice.
Do you want... are you being...
She's that enough?
We've got to get him out of here. I don't know what you guys are doing in there, but this is not acceptable.
Can you just reiterate Box Trance is out on Friday?
You guys didn't say anything weird during the podcast, right?
Not a thing.
No, we just talked about family values and Box Trolls.
Yeah.
The entire time. We're going to miss you, Nick.
Oh,
we are.
It was a complete pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Please come back and
thank
please
you.
Let us bother you if we ever come out to England.
Yes, we're going to do... What was it? Hey, what's all this?
What's in? All this then?
Do you have any hamburgers?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability, her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy, so happy.
I don't wanna see them, I don't wanna talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year, unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile.
I'm Shimol Yai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.